Welcome to the Infinite Scale podcast. My name is James Vickery. This is the ultimate podcast for MSPs. We've got an exciting show today because we have a very special guest, Mr. Scotty Miller from IT Rockstars. Hey, Scotty, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing okay. We were just talking pre-show that, you know, it's late at night for you. It's early in the morning. We're both,
it dark where you are, yeah?
The sun is just rising. The sun is just rising. And
it must be early then.
Tell us, whereabouts are you, Scotty?
I'm in a place called Huntly in Scotland. It's up in the sort of northeast of Scotland. We're kind of like, it's next to a place called Aberdeen where I used to stay, which was like the oil capital of Europe. But Huntly is renowned for its single malts and whiskies. There's a lot of distilleries nearby. And I seem to be like right in the middle of them all. We moved here just after lockdown. We've got a nice big garden. It's sort of in a little town, but there's a lot of country, a lot of space. And yeah, it's almost like the idyllic setting. There's apart from the weather, because Scotland, it rains a lot. that's where I am. And I'm in the Golden Triangle here. That's what I call it. I can walk about a minute up that way. And it takes me to a whiskey shop. I can walk a minute that way. It takes me to a fish and chip shop, and I can walk a minute that way, and I'm at an ice cream store. So
wow.
And there's hardly any traffic. You can go out in the street, and you'd be lucky even just to pass maybe one person in the street. It's just a nice little enclosed town that's a little bit rural. So yeah, I love it.
It sounds like a pretty good move. I'll bet it's cold though. I mean, I'm from Sydney, so. You know, cold to us is when it drops below, 27 degrees Celsius. It's freezing for us. So it sounds like my take on Scotland is it's pretty cold.
Well, actually, it's not like a harsh cold. So it gets cold here around about October and then starts to warm up in April. But it's a sort of wetter climate more than anything else. So like my dad, he stays over in Chicago in the Midwest and in the States.
That's cold.
Actually like a really dry, harsh cold. You're going down to minus 20. Right. You're lucky if you get down to like minus 5 degrees Celsius here. So
yeah, right. Well, that's pretty nice.
It seems as the winter lasts longer here, but there's not like heaps of snow and ice and things like that.
It's perfect whiskey weather.
Exactly. Whiskey weather. Yeah. This is it. I think this is why that was invented. So
right. Nice.
The climate. Yeah. It goes well.
Scotty, we came across each other on LinkedIn, like many of us these days. We connect on this platform, and I noticed that you sort of spent a lot of time talking about managed service providers and talking about sort of the challenges that are affecting them. And so I thought it would be really great to meet and have a chat. Tell us a bit about what do you do and how did you get involved with MSPs in particular?
Okay, so I come from very much a technical background as a senior systems engineer. Went into sales for an MSP eventually. Then I had my own MSP, realized how difficult it is to run an MSP, the amount of work that's involved in running an MSP. Mm-hmm. I realized about 8 months into that journey, I was like, wow, this is a lot of work. I don't want to do this. So I pivoted towards what my passion was, and I always had this I call it a hobby, but it was actually a really good income when I was working for the MSP and when I was doing the technical job, was search engine optimization. I used to do affiliate marketing for some rather large brands here in the UK, when it comes to SEO. And like when I very much started with SEO, I was doing my own break fix IT repair shop. This was going back to 2006. So I've kind of like since 2017 to today, it's very much been helping MSPs grow, helping them transform the way that they market and grow their business. And that's what I've been up to. So I mentioned SEO there, but there's a lot more to it than that. A lot of MSPs, they love the concept of SEO because it's quite technical and there's a lot to learn there. And that's only one element to the whole growth of a managed service provider. And as many of your listeners probably know, it's quite a long game when it comes to, attracting that potential prospect in, to getting in touch to signing the dotted line for a monthly recurring revenue contract
right.
can be quite a long sales process. So it maybe starts with SEO, but there's other marketing elements to it and a whole sales process as well. So hopefully that gives you a bit of an overview.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I can tell you MSP hasn't gotten any less hard, any less difficult since 2017. I think it's a big struggle. And I think bigger struggle is, you know, you spend most of your time just trying to support your clients, and you actually need time to market. You need time, and you need strategies for marketing. And then when you start to look into marketing, marketing is just as technical. I actually argue sometimes even more technical than running an MSP, because there are just so many different things to think of, and a lot of these things aren't necessarily natural to an MSP business owner. They're not natural things, getting out there and coming up with creative content ideas and coming up with advertising campaigns and stuff like that. So they need a good partner to help them. Is that effectively what you do? You partner with MSPs to help them with their marketing?
Yeah, so we work with over 400 MSPs today. Right. Australia, US, UK, New Zealand, South Africa, you name it, all these sort of English-speaking countries. Our core focus when we first started was premium content for MSPs. So providing them with content that they can use. That was one of the biggest difficulties, is coming up with the content from focus of a business owner that's potentially, you know, thinking about moving IT service provider, what those pain points are, but putting that into content that's going to hit home with that business owner, not getting too technical with it. There's a little bit of a balancing act there. And that's probably one of our unique selling points. That's why we exist, is because there is that technical element. So the depth of knowledge that we have, because I was used to having my own MSP, but balancing that off with your prospects, what's going to hit home with them. And yeah, it seemed much more difficult now running an MSP when I was doing it, because you got the whole cyber thing as well. It's just like a whole other thing. So, wow.
Right.
Amazing opportunity though. So huge opportunity there.
When I started my MSP, and it wasn't an MSP, it was, you know, I Know IT is the name of my business. So it was me running around and fixing computers. And it was 2001. So I just used to knock on doors, you know, I just used to knock on doors in my local area. And then I, as mentioned before, I live in Sydney. So bit by bit, I just used to knock on more doors all around the city until I ended up with a book of about 20 or so customers. And then I stopped knocking on doors. And then, and if I were to go back now, I don't think that strategy would work anymore. I think you have to, I don't know. You tell me.
I don't know. I do not know that many MSPs or IT service providers that knock on doors. A lot of, certainly from my experience, it's maybe just who I'm attracted to, or they're attracted to me, the members we've got, IT rock stars. A lot of them introvert, technical, rather be in a server room, you know, looking through a Windows log as opposed to knocking on the door and getting a flat refusal, no, go away. So
it's different. I used to love it. I loved it. I would drive, and it would, you know, I was young and it allowed me to explore different parts of the city.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was great. And I got a lot of doors slammed in my face as well.
It's
and
a really
I got
good
told,
learning process.
Absolutely. And some of the best relationships, in fact, some of them are still customers today, which is fascinating, right? That we met all those years ago, and I used to hit like different industrial parks. But again, I feel like today there's a better way to do it, is I guess what I'm alluding to, that, you know, now you've got, you know, all these amazing platforms, Facebook and LinkedIn and Reddit and Twitter and Instagram or X Instagram. You've got email marketing and you've got SEO. And so it seems like there's maybe an easier way, particularly for an introvert. It might be actually easier to kind of use sort of some form of digital leverage to get leads to their business. Yeah.
So there's some huge opportunities. But I almost think that the offline piece is as important as the online piece. But yeah, you've got all of these different platforms. So it's like, where do you start with it? We're having great success at the moment with Google's changed up its algorithms over the the last few years and what's happened with the pandemic now. And it's quite a subtle change. I talk about this in a book that I recently wrote, and not many IT service providers, MSPs, are aware of this change that's happened. And I was only aware of it because people kept coming to me and telling me what they're doing. Is that where you used to potentially just be knocking on doors locally, and you're very much restricted to your local market because most businesses wanted to do business with, you know, a local IT service provider. Since the pandemic, and if you cast your mind back to before the pandemic, having a Zoom meeting like this or a Teams meeting like this with another business owner was kind of, it wasn't normal. It was quite a new concept. I mean, I've got clients that we were trying to force them to use Microsoft Teams and it just wasn't happening.
Right.
And then 2020 rolls around, everyone was forced to use Teams, to use Zoom. You know, fast forward to now, and it's very much, a lot of people are happier meeting like this opposed to having to drive or to go and knock on someone's door. Certainly for me anyway, that's the case, and a lot of our members. So what I've heard now, and you know, we've got members that are doing this, is because that local presence isn't so much required now, there's actually, that opens up the doors to scaling to a national level. And James, you probably know this yourself, just the types of clients that you have and the way that your business is actually modeled. I mean, looking at where your support team are, and you mentioned your clients are in the US and you're based in Australia, that this is almost like, you know, we call it, you know, it's cliche, but it's the new normal, this type of business model,
right?
Where you can scale.
It was normal for us. It was normal pre-pandemic for us. And it's been amazing watching sort of everybody else catch up to this thinking. But our story was that, you know, we had a little Australian managed service provider. Then we decided, and I'm going to shortcut all of this for our listeners, but we decided that we would set up offshore in the Philippines. And as soon as we arrived in the Philippines, we met businesses from all over the world. And those businesses just wanted things done. You know, it wasn't about you local. No one was local. No one was local. We're all doing business in Southeast Asia and then providing services back out to Australia, the UK, Canada, America, and so on. And so it became normal for us to just start targeting businesses that had the need as opposed to businesses that were just down the street. And that completely changed my thinking. It wasn't the original goal. I wasn't like, I'm going to run this global empire and all of that. That wasn't the goal. The goal was to get some optimization into our business to reduce our cost of delivery. And then a byproduct of that was we ended up forming an international business. And almost every meeting that we've had for Benchmark in 8 years has been remote. I think I've only had like two in-person meetings as CEO of Benchmark with a managed service provider.
So we get back to the opportunity then from the digital side of stuff here,
right,
with the pandemic. Because MSPs are no longer restricted to being local, you know, a lot of MSPs, if you go and do a web search for IT support, everyone's trying to optimize the website for those local types of keywords. So IT support, Huntley Scotland, probably not many websites with that in their name, but that's no longer a restriction because you can do business anywhere because of technologies like Zoom and Teams. So it opens up this huge opportunity that not many are aware of, and that is going after national keywords or international keywords that potentially there's hardly any competition for these types of keywords. So there's one that I came across just recently, and this is the one that I give the example in the book. I don't want to go into a lot of the keywords. I've given away a lot of the golden nuggets here because, you know, once you hear these keywords, you're like, wow, let's go after them. So I don't want to make them too public.
But,
this is for the US side of the audience, HIPAA compliant IT service providers. If you type that into Google right now, that's one of those national types of terms. There's no local keyword in there whatsoever. It's a national term. And when I wrote this book, we found the keyword. We call it a golden keyword basically because there's very low competition for it that has high buying intent, meaning that, you know, someone searching that type of term is actually, they're looking for something very specific, and they're probably going to take an action when they find it. because you've got those two things working for you, and there's hardly any competition. So there's like, I think there was like at the time of writing when I found the keyword at first, it was about 11 websites that you'd be competing with nationally for that term.
Wow.
And the keyword, the volume of the searches, it was getting on about 100, I think it was 100 searches a month for that keyword, HIPAA compliant IT services. Now, as I mentioned, talking about this now and going on all these podcasts, I do talks as well, events, MSP events, that type of stuff. That keyword's probably going to, the competition for that keyword is going to increase because everyone's going to look at it. And, right. You know, at the moment, you probably, if you've got a decent enough website that's got a good authority, a couple of interlinks to a blog post about that keyword and, you know, what something that's going to be useful, you're going to find that that's going to rank on the first page of Google quite easily. So there's lots of those national terms that are up for grabs. And they're just sitting there at the moment. They're just they're laying dormant until everyone starts to become aware of them. And there are some providers that are aware of some of these keywords. I found I was speaking to it's actually a local cybersecurity company here in the UK. I know the guy that started the business, and we've been good friends for a number of years now. And he was showing me his website and the types of terms that he's ranking for. And I was just amazed. I'm like, the amount of traffic he's getting for these national, their compliance terms. So there's certain accreditations that you need, a business needs here in the UK, to be compliant from a cyber security standard. And he's inundated with business because of this.
Wow.
So there's a huge opportunity right there. And the cool thing I like about it is you can be introverted, because if you get the technical aspect right, you're not having to knock on any doors.
Right.
They're coming to your door.
Right. And then it's about running an effective sales process from there. It's about what you do once you get the lead, right?
This is a really good point, James. An effective sales process is extremely important in the case of marketing your MSP, your IT business. Because most MSPs I speak with, most of our members, I ask them, one of the very first questions is, okay, how have you grown the business to date? What types of marketing are you already doing? Like, why are you speaking to me? 9 times out of 10, they've grown the business referral. They've been knocking on doors, right? Word of mouth referrals. That's how it works. That's how most of these businesses grow. So when it comes to the sales piece, most owners and the salespeople within these MSPs are like, I'm really good at closing the deals. It's just get in front of the leads. That's the hard bit.
Right.
And yeah, you might be really good at closing the sale because it's a word of mouth referral. It's a completely different story when it comes to these cold marketing leads that they don't know who you are,
right?
But they found your website and they want a price. So that is a completely different sales process. Yeah.
Our experience is very similar to yours. So we started Benchmark because we know that managed service providers want to grow. Everyone that's in business wants to grow, but they don't have necessarily the capacity for growth. So if we talk to an MSP that's perhaps a little small, the owner is still doing technical support. They're spending about 80% of their time on the tools. And then they say, hey, I really want to grow the business. And so we'll always ask, okay, what have you done to date and what are you willing to do? So we're going to double the business in the next 12 months. So, well, how are you going to do that? And I guess one step is if you outsource your help desk, you can reduce the time that you're spending on tech support and you can go out and focus on new business. But therein lies the next problem, which is why I love talking to people like you, is that how are they going to generate the leads? How are they actually going to get the opportunities if they've been looking at a ticketing system for the last 15 years and have never thought really too much about how to market their business? What are the next steps? And one of the big frustrations we run into, which is why we started Benchmark Peers, is that there's this sort of like, you know, they onboard with Benchmark, we start doing tech support, we start handling the help desk, their time is free, and they just don't know what to do at all. They don't know where to go from there. And so 3 months later, sometimes they're like, I think I'll just work tickets again because that's what I know. That's my default mode in my business.
They go back to the
habit. Right. And so we love talking to MSPs. And so when we run peers, which is every month for a segment of our partners, all we talk about is marketing and sales and strategies to grow revenue. But it's great to also talk to people that, like yourself, that are more specialized in that area than perhaps we are. Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, we're very much like a niche within a niche when it comes to that, or niche, as our US friends would say. With MSPs and it's SEO. So the more that you can niche down in your IT service business, I was having this conversation last night with it's an MSP. He's been on the go only 3 years, and he's got a limited revenue at the moment. He's only got three customers. So he's asking the question, what's your specialist area? Like, what would you say you're really good at in the business? And like, niche down on that. Because there's golden keywords right there for the picking that you can create content on, that you can be optimized on the search for, that no one else will be talking about. So,
So
yeah.
let's talk more about that. So I'm going to plead total ignorance. SEO to me, search engine optimization, is a word or a term that's been bandied about since I started my business 20 years ago, and I've completely ignored it. I'm aware of
Yeah.
it. I'm aware of the term. It's almost like I've heard it so much, I just completely space out when I hear it. And
That much is obvious by looking at your website, James.
sorry, say again.
I'm saying that much is obvious by looking at your website.
Really? Oh, that's terrible. We just launched that new website, Scott. What's wrong with the
Can talk
website?
about that later.
Later. Well, the thing is, I think we've been, but okay, so if we go back over the story again, with my MSP, I went and knocked on doors and I won business, and I'm an extroverted character, so that's how I
Yeah.
won business for the MSP, and never really thought that we needed to do anything beyond organic growth. And I think a lot of MSPs think the same. When we started Benchmark, it's all been content driven. So we've had this podcast, and I wrote a book a few years ago that I think got some traction in the market when people were learning about outsourcing. And so it's all been inbound. And so we've never really thought about the SEO side of things. Why is it important now? Why is it critical now for MSPs to think about using SEO?
Well, that's a really good question. I think because it's such a lot large opportunity at the moment, as I've already stated, majority of the market, majority of MSPs are all looking at those local terms that they're trying to all compete for, IT support in my location, IT services in my location. Whereas if you look at some of the super MSPs, certainly based in the States, and what they're doing, and just the knowledge, just the opportunities there for these national terms, it's completely, as I say, it's completely opened up. There's this huge opportunity. It's like it's this big gap, and it's going to get filled, but it's just a matter of when that's going to get filled. So I'm basically starting the, I'm pushing the ball on this one. I'm starting the snowball, rolling it down the hill, because there are some MSPs that are taking advantage of it, but it's such a small minority. I mean, a lot of the MSPs I speak to are still on that local presence, locally focused area that they're operating in. And the world's changing completely. And who knows where it'll be in 5, 10 years' time, with things like Copilot and AI, how that's all going to pan out. So it's really about being ahead of the curve.
In that sense, do you think it will be affected by people, say, using Copilot and ChatGPT to write content that kind of the algorithm just says, no, I'm not going to pick that up for SEO purposes? Is that what you mean? How much things are going to change on that front? Or do you
It's
think
more about
web in general is going to change
the web in general is
considerably?
going to change. So you need to be ahead of that curve. So like when someone comes to, a search engine to look for a new IT service provider or do some research on, the top five MSPs in their area or something like that, the way that all of that information is going to be surfaced is going to change. So you really need to take the opportunity on it now, when it comes to these niches within niches, basically, HIPAA compliant IT service providers. That's a niche. It's not very niche, because a lot of the US MSPs that I speak to, they talk about that a lot, but it's those types of keywords that you can take advantage of. So when you go to, the Bing chat that's there, you can type in what you're looking for, and then it'll go and reference the web, and it'll pump back with information. And it'll tell you exactly what you want, but then it gives you these little references about where it got the information for. You want to be one of those references, so that you're ahead of the curve.
Very interesting. But we're not there yet. And so SEO is still very relevant right now. Talk through the elements. What are some of the elements of an effective SEO strategy without giving away all the secret sauce? But naturally, our audience are very technical. So what are some of the things that kind of need to happen for SEO to be effective?
Okay, well, the first thing is to figure out what keywords you want to go after, types of searches you want to come up for.
Right.
Once you've figured out what they are and looked at the traffic volumes on them, are they even worth going for? Are there Google ads running for these types of keywords? Is then building out a bit of a content plan for these keywords. So how are you? It could be blog posts, articles. It could be directed at your homepage. Where's that information going to surface? What page are you actually going to rank in the search? And then you have to optimize those pages. So once they're created and published, optimizing them, on-page optimization. So that's a very much a technical thing, making sure you've got the keywords in there, title tags. But there's also the content itself. The content has to be helpful. So Google actually, it used to be very much focused on keywords. So making sure you had, like, if you're trying to optimize your website for HIPAA compliant IT service providers, making sure you mention that on your article 5 or 6 times and have it as
Right.
a heading, have it as the meta title and the meta description, even having an image with the same file name as the keyword. A lot of that's went out the window now. There's still
Right.
optimization required, but the way that Google is now measuring or ranking websites, this is looking at the user's interaction with the website. So if a user lands on your website for your HIPAA compliant IT page and then bounces off it back to the search and then goes into another website, Google will take note of that. And the more people that do that, it's going to take note and it's saying, okay, this page really isn't that helpful. So we're going to rank it down lower. So the helpfulness, and this is part of the Google helpful content update, your content has to be helpful. It has to answer what the web visitor was looking for, has to answer it as quickly as possible. And the reason this was introduced in part is because of AI. I spoke to another local provider recently when ChatGPT came out last year, and he was just amazed by it. He's like, I've written 100 blog posts, Scott, and I published them all. A lot of people were doing that, and there's all this AI content on their website. It's not very helpful when you read that type of AI content. It's fairly obvious that it's AI
Right.
content. Google doesn't really want that in their search results because people will be turned off from doing searches on places like Google and Bing if that's
Right.
all they're going to get answers from. So the search results matter for Google. They have to be quality in those search results. So you can't skimp on the content.
Right. But it's about engagement. So and for engagement, you need authenticity, I think is what you're saying. So you need content that people actually relate to, and they're going to actually spend a significant amount of time looking at that content on your website as opposed to just glancing at it and bouncing off.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's right. And there's techniques
Yeah.
within the content itself to do that. So the I can't even say the word, but your experience on the topic that you've got in your content, making that relevant to the user. So
Right.
putting yourself in the position of the user that's searching for the keyword. And there's tricks you can do at the very start of your content. So I call this the APP formula. So with the reader, you agree on a problem. So isn't it a pain in the neck that you're having to try and stay compliant with the HIPAA laws? It's a real pain in the neck and it's a big cost. We can both
Right.
agree on that. And then you give them a preview of what you're going to tell them within the content. And then you promise by the end of the article that you're going to solve that problem for them. So having that just in the very first paragraph, that APP formula, that'll really engage the user and they'll want to read more. They want to scroll down and engage in that content.
Gotcha.
So there's a bit of
How
copywriting in there as well.
Gotcha. This is a how long is a piece of string question, but what should MSPs be spending on SEO activity? Is there sort of an average for a managed service provider to be spending? What's the right number?
James, I would say as much as possible.
Right.
I
Yeah.
am
You know
guilty of
what? We
that.
say the same thing about outsourced help desk as well. So, but do you think that there's a do you think that there's sort of an average spend? There's a kind of a sweet spot for a lot of
You
providers
find
that are
if you're
just
going
looking
down
to.
the agency route, you're probably going to be spending anywhere between $2,000 to $5,000 a month for an
Right.
SEO driven agency. That's the average costs.
Right.
But when it comes to this cost, and you probably had this conversation in your peer groups, you know, look at the average value, lifetime value of a
Of a
client,
customer,
your
right?
client. And the
Yeah.
number I've come up with this is maybe different from what you guys have discussed. This is just from my own experience. If I take on a 10-user a company, and let's say it's $100 per seat per month, that's $1,000 a month, and it's a 3-year contract, that's $36,000. And that's not including any of the hardware upsell margins or any of the
Right.
project work or anything like that. That's just for the monthly recurring revenue on the contract. It's $36,000 for that one new client. So the
Right.
question is, okay, how much are you going to spend to acquire that type of client? And that's, you know, 10 years is fairly small. So I don't know what your experience here is, James. You've
I think a lot of MSPs are actually are not looking to take on loads and loads of customers anyway. I think you'd be happy to acquire one or two really good. Those $3,000 a month contracts sound wonderful, right? If you can pick up a couple of those a month
Yeah.
for a smaller MSP, that's amazing. I spoke to a guy in Toronto, Canada, a couple of days ago, and he was lamenting that he only picked up one or two customers in an entire year, and but he's not doing it. He's clearly not doing enough marketing activity to acquire more. He could definitely take on one a month if he was generating leads, but he's not. So
Okay.
I think it's just basic math, really.
Yeah.
More activity, the right activity that generates leads that allows you to acquire enough customers to grow your business in a natural way. I think if an MSP suddenly won 10 customers overnight, I think that would be disastrous for them. Most are
Oh
looking
yeah.
to comfortably grow.
So this is one of the things with these golden keywords, and it's one of the things I mentioned in the book, is that you want to try and a lot of these terms are low volume. So the HIPAA compliant IT services, as mentioned, it's about 100 searches a month for that one. Not all of the people that search for that are going to go and take an action when they land on your website. I put that down to more of a It's almost maybe a down to like 1% conversion ratio. So there's 100 in volume. You might actually get one person that'll take the action and book an appointment in your calendar. So when you look at it like that, the 100 searches a month is actually fairly low. So you need to actually find between 3 and 5 of these golden keywords with low search volumes and optimize each piece of content. So, you know, you've got 500 new website visitors every month for these very specialized terms that have high buying intent. And that'll give you 5 appointments in the diary that you wouldn't have
It's
normal.
like the long tail, basically,
It's the long
of
tail, and
search terms. Yeah.
it's not you're not going to get like that. The guy I was telling you about this doing these cybersecurity compliance, he's inundated with business at the moment. He doesn't
Right.
actually, I'm not going to go into the details, but he's so busy that he's just doing project work, and he's not going down the monthly recurring revenue route because he just doesn't have the time to build out the business that way. So yeah, just it's slow and predictable growth. That's why I like.
Our audience, a good chunk of our audience are going to be technical, and some of them are DIYers. They're going to want to try and do things themselves, to maybe not spend $2,000 to $5,000 a month on SEO services. What are some of the traps for young players? What are some things to look out for when you're trying to do it yourself with SEO?
Yeah, so one of the biggest ranking factors, we've already mentioned on-page optimization, which is fairly straightforward. You can do that at minimal cost. Things like your server speed as well, your website, how fast your website is. All these types of things are fairly straightforward. But the biggest ranking factor that's always been the case is backlinks. And that's basically a link from another website to your website. And when I started in SEO back in 2006, 2007 for my break-fix computer repair business, it was really easy to rank Google. You just needed to have as many backlinks as possible. It was awesome, actually. And there was a time back in 2011, 2012. This is when I got into the affiliate marketing piece, to tell you the story. I was in this SEO community, and we're all banding about how we're ranking our website. And this guy tells me that he's based in the States, and he's going after his payday loans. And there, at the time here in the UK, back in 2012, there was a payday loan provider. It was one called Wonga. And I like ignorantly thought that Wonga was like a slang word over here in the UK for money or for cash.
Yeah, right.
It's actually, I think there's actually a town in Australia called Wonga. Right. I remember looking this up. So I ranked this website in Google. It was called Wonga promo code. And I was getting like $100 for every new customer that came in for this. And they were advertising TV at the time. And the way that I got that website to the top was backlinks, just lots of backlinks. And that lasted for a good 3 months before I got a cease and desist. It turns out that Wonga is actually a trademark term. I don't know if they're in existence now, but you know, it was a little while ago. That was like the first red flag warning when it comes to backlinks. It was too easy, and it had to change. There was too many people basically manipulating the search results. And Google, since 2012, they've implemented a number of algorithms. They come up with changes to their algorithm maybe two or three times a year. There's two big ones back then. There's one called Penguin and one called Panda. I'm not sure why they were named after animals. But they basically got rid of the backlinks manipulation using just lots of backlinks. And you can go to places like Fiverr or Upwork, and there's, you know, wholesale backlink providers. So it's, you know, someone that's just want to do it themselves and they read up about backlinks, don't go buying those types of backlinks. That's my biggest piece of advice, because that can actually have a negative effect on your website. If you get the wrong types of backlinks, you can actually tank your website because it looks very unnatural that you're getting all of these links from.
I did some of my own sort of research before the call. I thought, as I said, a total novice, never really thought about SEO, always been content driven for our companies. And first thing that came up was backlinks are bad. You know, it was like that often it's viewed as spam, right? If it's not done effectively at the end of the day.
Well, they're not bad. There are bad types of backlinks. This is the secret just now. Backlinks still work amazingly, but it's making sure you have the right types of backlinks.
Yeah. Gotcha. This has been a great show so far. I'm conscious of time. How do people get in touch with you, Scott, if they're interested in the services that you provide, if they're interested in SEO or anything else? What's the best way to get in touch?
So the website that I've got specifically for this book that I mentioned, it's a website called SEOwithScott.com. You can get a copy of the book there. You can download it free of charge. And we also have our IT Rockstars membership at itrockstars.net. The cool thing with the SEO with Scott, the book, is we have within it, there's one MSP that's generating approximately 84 appointments every month. And we show you how that's happening within the book.
That's phenomenal. I mean, I don't even think telemarketers can claim they're going to get you 84 appointments a month. That's huge.
It's a large number. And I was like, it's a crazy number, but when you see the information, it makes sense and how it's been done. But I wouldn't suggest going for the same keyword as they're going after. It would cost a lot of bit money.
Scott, thanks for coming on the show. It's really great to have you. I think we better do another one. There was a lot in there, and I feel like I've got a million more questions, but we'll wrap this one up. And yeah, great to have you. And thanks everyone for joining us today on the Infinite Scale podcast. If you've got some suggestions for episodes, please feel free to email hello@benchmark365.com. If you're interested in benchmark services, visit benchmark365.com. You can chat to one of our agents on the website. You can give us a call. You can drop us an email. Hopefully you can find our website. Scott's told us that there's some work to be done on it, but If you drop us a line on there, I'm sure we'll get in touch with you. Thanks again, everyone, and looking forward to catching you at the next show.